From Romans chapter 10, hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10, hearing the word of God. We'll begin at verse 16 and continue through verse 18 this morning. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. May I remind you again that we're looking at this particular subject. Hearing the word of God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Paul has written of those who herald or preach the news of Christ Jesus. In verse 15, he describes their beauty. He mentions the fact that their feet are beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The word beautiful here is a word that describes fruit when it is ripe and when it is in its most refreshing state. So I think Paul is saying how refreshing and how welcome are those who bring us, notice, glad tidings. And this means a joyful message or good news. It's a joyful message of good things. This is why the feet of the people who bring it are considered to be so welcome, like the bringing of a basket of ripe fruit, because it's good news about good things. And this means things that are worthy of admiration, things that are admirable. You know, sometimes people bring us news, but there's not much benefit in the news that they bring. Much of the news we hear today is depressing, and we're tired of hearing constantly of starvation and war and hunger, of crime and drugs and murder and rape and pillage, and our older people being abused and our children being abused and law enforcement officers abusing and themselves being abused. And rarely does it seem to me, at least, do we hear something good. And occasionally when a news broadcaster is going to end his 30 minutes of newscasting, he will say, now here's something good. Well, those people who preach the gospel bring a message of glad tidings, of good things, things that are of such a nature as to evoke admiration and awe. And you'll notice that it is the gospel or the good news of peace. Not that peace is, but that peace is attainable. And it's not the peace that the world gives or the peace that the world can accomplish. It is the peace of God that passeth all understanding when we place our faith explicitly in Jesus Christ. So it is a message of peace with God through faith in His Son Jesus Christ. And this faith brings a right standing in the sight of God. If this is the gospel of peace, if it is the glad tidings of good things, then why do some people turn away from it? Why do they resent it? Why do they reject it? I think there are two reasons. First of all, it's a spiritual message. That is, it is a message that has to do with the things that are not seen. It has to do with things that are eternal. It has to do with that which is spiritual. And because of this, the flesh detests this kind of message from Almighty God. The flesh detests a person who brings us a message that has to do with that which is admirable, with that which admonishes us to lift our eyes to God and to receive the good news of good things that he has for us. Paul then explains the fact and reverts or considers the Old Testament as a basis for his explanation of why some people turn away from the message of truth. In verse 16, Paul writes, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Now, this word obeyed doesn't mean to do something. That's the first explanation I'd like for you to grasp. Because there are those who say that obeying the gospel means to be baptized. And that's not what this word means. It means to hear with the idea of having attention and stillness so that one might answer the words that are being said. So it doesn't have any the idea of doing something from the viewpoint of the flesh or the body. It doesn't mean obey the gospel. Doesn't mean to go into the baptistry and receive baptism. Here's what Paul said. "But they have not all given themselves to the message that they have heard. They have not all listened attentively. They have not all listened with eagerness. Some," Paul said, "have turned away." Now the word gospel here means good news, and it has to do with the promise of righteousness, which is of faith. And that's what we've been talking about for several Sundays. Paul said, Isaiah said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" The word believe, as it's given to us here, means to trust, to have confidence in, to be persuaded, and therefore to completely rely upon the report. The report here is the hearing, the sense or faculty of hearing, that which one has heard. Now, not everyone will do or conform to or yield or have confidence in the good news that is brought by those whose feet are beautiful. Isaiah even said of these people, "Who will put confidence in and who will respond to the message that we preach?" Let's look at Isaiah's prophecy. It's the word of God that Brother Pogue read this morning, Isaiah 53. And this is intriguing because Isaiah does ask the question, "Who hath believed our report?" And that seems to be out of context. It doesn't seem to have any real application because as we read all of the verses before and after, we wonder, what does Isaiah mean when he asked, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" This is first verse of Isaiah chapter 53. "And to whom is the arm of the Lord?" Now notice that word, revealed. That is, who is willing to accept what we say? And who will accept the revelation that we give concerning this person? And we're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about Jesus. Now here's what Isaiah meant. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground." This simply means that he will not be an aggressive personality. He will not be militaristic. He will not be a person who gets things done from the viewpoint of a human who is able to get men and nations to follow him in a way that we normally look for leadership. He's just a very tender person. He's easily bruised. He's easily hurt. Here's a man who's not just egocentric, who's wearing his feelings on his shirt sleeve, but here's a man who's very tender, who's very compassionate. And oftentimes we don't want these characteristics in a leader. Certainly back then they didn't seem to be the best characteristics, because it seemed necessary to be a man of force and power who didn't consider the feelings of others in order to get things done. Now here's a man who will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we have hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah saying, Lord, this is the kind of person that Messiah will be. And when we preach this kind of person, when we say that this is the kind of man that our Redeemer will be, who's going to believe us? Who will accept this kind of personality? Who wants to be involved with a man that has rejection written all over him? Who's not physically handsome? Who's not full of strength from the viewpoint of physical power and strength? Who wants to follow a man who will submit to things, as obviously this man will? Who's going to believe our preaching when we preach a despised and rejected Messiah? Jesus also addressed himself to this very same issue in Matthew when he wrote, whenever he spoke of those who would hear and who would not then respond to the message. Matthew chapter 13 is the scriptures we want to see. Verse 14. And in them, now we're talking about people who reject the message, those people who reject Jesus and his message, in verse 14 of chapter 13, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus said, all people will not accept the message that you preach. And all people did not accept the message that he preached. And in connection with hearing the word of God, Jesus said, and their ears are dull of hearing. And I really don't enjoy telling you what this figure of speech really comes from, but I suppose I must. But the idea of dull of hearing comes from the idea of watching a very, very fat, a very obese person try to get around and do things. The words that are translated dull of hearing really have in it the idea of heavy, heavy to hear. So sometime, if you'd like to know what this means, watch me as I try to tie my shoes, and then you'll know what this verse of scripture means. It means the difficulty that a person who's extremely overweight has in doing just the simple, ordinary task of life. Now, Paul is using this quotation, and he's saying that people, they just don't respond very quickly to the truth of God. They are not really interested in doing it. They are slow in their comprehension and understanding of it. I believe an explanation of this is given in the book of Hebrews. When Paul wrote of faith being mixed with hearing, so that those who hear might profit from it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Now, why didn't it profit them? And he's talking about the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness and never came into the promised land. Why didn't the word preached profit them? You see, there was Moses to tell them God's will. They had ears to hear God's will, and they had hearts to respond to the truth of God, and yet they didn't do it. Why didn't the Israelites as a nation respond to the truth of God when it was preached? Well, Paul said it's because they did not mix with faith in them that heard it. That not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And this word profit means to help or benefit. Why didn't the word preached benefit them? Because it was not mixed, and this means to mingle with and to blend together with. So, when we hear the word of God, and it is not mixed and mingled with faith, so as to impel us to do the thing taught, then it profits nothing. If we come here this morning, and we preach the word of God, and you hear the word of God, and that word is not mixed and mingled with your own personal faith, then it will be without profit. That is, it will do little good. Paul is saying in his letter to the Romans, that not only is hearing necessary in order for us to profit from the message that God brings through those who bring glad tidings of good things, that it'll have to be mixed and mingled with faith in order for there to be profit. Now, in verse 17, Paul writes that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now he's continuing a train of thought. People are going to bring, or you're going to preach, glad tidings of good things. But everybody who hears will not receive the message you preach, because in order for them to benefit by it, it has to be received and mixed and mingled with their personal faith. Someone says, well, how do you get faith? Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, the faith you need will come through the ear, and the message that must be preached is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word faith means firm persuasion, and the word hearing means the sense of hearing. Now, it's not the message. So faith cometh by hearing. Now that doesn't mean the message, but it means the ear itself. It's a different word. And it means the literal organ, the ear, the sense of hearing. How does faith enter into the mind of man? It enters by the ear. Seldom is our faith increased by what we see. In fact, it is argued, and I think rightly so, that if we see it, then it is not faith. If it can be seen, every bit of information we receive through the eye is suspect. You say, but a thousand, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. That may be true in some things, but it's not true in the truth of God. Just isn't true. He said, if we could just devise a lot of methods, we could just get a lot of overhead projectors and movie screens, and if we could just get a lot of visual aids and show people, then they'd believe. No, we would actually hinder their faith. Because faith comes through the organ of hearing, not the sense of sight. You remember Paula Hull being here last Sunday? When Paula was an infant, they diagnosed her eyes as being cancerous, both of them. And so, very few days old, as quickly as they could, they removed both of her eyes. And be quite frank with you, she called. I wasn't here last Saturday, and told my wife that she and her husband would be at church. And I wondered about that. And I talked to Paula one time, and she told me about a young man she is seeing, and she's very frank with me about it. And she said, "Brother Penn, I know exactly why this person has asked me for a date." And she said, "You know, I don't have very many dates. I'm blind, and I really don't know how to fix myself up. I try," but she said, and she'd laugh about it. She said, "I get my makeup on crooked, and you know, and I realize that I'm not going to have many dates." But she said, there are two things. She said, "I do want to get married." And I just sort of hung my head. She said, "I do want to get married. But I'm not going to sacrifice my virtue." And she said, "I'm not going to sacrifice what I believe the Bible teaches. I'm not going to just get married to someone who, and then just join some religious group somewhere." Said, "If a person will not let me be a missionary Baptist, a landmark Baptist, then I'm not going to get married." And I just said, "Well, Paul, what God can help." But I never thought he'd help her like he did. She had a good-looking husband, didn't she? Fine man. And faith cometh by hearing. See, she doesn't have any eyes. Do you think she's got any faith? Would you have said that? Would you have accepted, "Lord, I'm blind and I'm a young lady, but I'm not going to compromise my virtue or my religious convictions, but Lord, I'm expecting a husband." Now that's faith. That's faith. She stayed a very sweet and wonderful Christian lady, and God providentially allowed her to meet this fine young man. He said, "Well, does everything always turn out like Camelot?" No, it doesn't. I'm just saying you don't have to see in order to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing. He said, "Well, I don't much like to listen." Then you'll never have much faith. And I think that's why people today are absolutely without faith, and yet their eyes have seen everything you can see. I mean, you look on the religious programming today, and it's all oriented toward the eye, not the heart and the ear. If it's spectacular, if it's just, you know, if you just look at it. But faith cometh by hearing. And I think, you know, we need to hear the Word of God. That I don't mean just listen. I mean we need to hear what God is saying. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And hearing, that means to learn by hearing, comes how? That which is spoken. From the discourse, from the speech, from the message. And I realize that this is sort of an archaic and despised institution all over the world. Well, not all over the world. There are some places where people still love to hear the Word of God preached. But you know, there aren't many people today who are excited about hearing a message from God. It needs to be in order to attract their attention and to hold their attention, and their attention span is about 15 minutes, so I've been told. I don't know how did we ever get that way, that our attention spans are 15 minutes. So after 15 minutes, you've just lost your crowd, preacher. They're not going to listen after 15 minutes. How did we get that way? Because we're undisciplined. We're undisciplined. Everything we do has got to have a lot of action in it. Even if it's just hypocrisy, it's got to be a lot of action. Why? Well, people don't like to sit and listen. And we're less because of it. We're less because of it. Faith cometh by preaching and hearing the word of God. You say, well, I'll get mine somewhere else. I don't know where you'll get it. Well, I don't like to go to church and just sit there and listen to a sermon. Why not? Why not? You know why? Because your ears are fat. Oh, I don't mean, you know. I mean they're dull of hearing. If preaching bores you, you have despised the principal method by which God shall speak to you. Now, faith is the product of hearing. So then, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard is the preaching of Christ. And Paul says, have they not heard? In other words, if faith comes by hearing, then has everyone heard? And immediately people were supposed to say, no. Why, no, everyone hadn't heard. Do you know what Paul said? Yes, everyone's heard. Isn't that extraordinary? Have they heard? But I ask, have they not heard? Did they not hear? That is to learn by hearing, to be informed. Weren't these people informed? Didn't they know? And Paul said, yes, verily. Indeed they have. Their sound went into all the earth. It didn't say their sight. And that's rather extraordinary when you consider what Paul is talking about. Their sound went into all the word, into all the world. The sound here means the voice, the loud and clear utterance. Now notice, their words, their sound. Now what is the there? Who made the sound? Who spoke the words? This means that which is spoken, their words unto the ends of the world. The message, the sentence, the discourse, the thing that is said, and it means all of it, the entire thing, the whole of it. The message reaches the ends of the world. This word end here means the last place, the extremity. What comes to an end? What is the termination point? Their words and their sound has gone into all the earth and to the very terminal point of habitation. So, well, I didn't know the early church, when Paul wrote the letter to the Romans, had made that kind of missionary thrust. And that's not what Paul's talking about. He refers back to Psalm 19. This is the psalm that Paul's referring to. And isn't it amazing how often Paul quotes from David and from Moses and all the other Old Testament characters. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whose voice? the firmaments for us. The day and all that occurs in that day, and the night and all that occurs in that night. Their line is gone out throughout or through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. What's Paul mean? Well, Paul is saying that people have received knowledge from their environment. They have received an education from the things they hear and the things they see. And this comes from the firmament, which demonstrates and shows and speaks, and from the day-to-day circumstances and the night-to-night circumstances of a person's life. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying that any human being who will consider the creation and who will assign to the creation the proper creator, if that person will take that knowledge and mix it with faith, they can find righteousness in the sight of God. Now, mixing that knowledge by faith will imply seeking God. You understand what I mean by that? Just that knowledge itself. But when you... I think what Paul is saying is that anyone who will recognize God as creator and who will move upon that recognition by faith will find God's truth. It will not be hidden. You know, it's a sort of a silly idea that people have that God is trying to hide himself from man, that God's trying to hide the truth of himself from man, and that if you just search and peek and pull and ply, that sooner or later God's, well, I won't show you right now, but, you know, look again, ask me one more time. People got the idea that God just loves to be begged. And God likes to hide himself, that he's in that kind of business. God is playing hide and seek with man, you know. And men are just running everywhere. They don't know how to find him. And God is saying, well, ask me one more time and I'll hear your prayer. And that is a silly, unscriptural attitude about God. Every minute of every day, God's doing all he can to reveal every truth to you that you need, and God is doing everything he can to answer every prayer that you pray that's within the scope of benefiting you and the work of God and your family and the circumstances you live in. God wants to hear you. God wants you to see him. God wants you to find him. And the idea, well, I can't find God, it's because you haven't mixed the knowledge you have with faith. That's why it won't work. We've got to mix the knowledge we get with faith and act on that knowledge by faith. And when we do, things will happen with us and for God. That's the way God works. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You could listen to a million sermons and never mix it with faith, and it would do absolutely no good to you whatsoever. It's when you hear the truth and mix it with faith that things then happen. And it's so with salvation. When you hear that Jesus is the Christ and whosoever believeth on him shall be saved, when you mix that message with faith and receive it as good news and glad tidings about good things, then it will help you. Then it will save you. But as long as you build that barrier, as long as you stubbornly resist and push against God and say, well, I don't want to know that truth. But I'm confused, God. I'm not really sure about this. I'm not. As long as you push and resist and rebel and you will not submit. See, that's what Israel did. And why? What happened? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, they heard the word, went to work. Busy little beavers and bees, just working every way they can. God said, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to hear the truth, mix it with faith, and submit to me so that I can save you by faith, and then by faith receive my instruction and continue to work for my honor and glory. That's the way God works. Have they not heard? Yes, certainly they have heard. What Paul is saying is, there were people who were going to say, we hadn't had a chance. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we hadn't heard, we don't have a chance. Paul said, have they not heard? Yes, they have heard. They have received enough revelation that if they will mix it by faith, it'll be effective. So have we. Now that's true of the Jew. Let me show you what's true of the Gentile. Romans 1:18, we've already studied this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now notice, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them. How has it been manifest to them? How has God showed it to them? Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, that is of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. How can people see the things of Him and know of Him, being understood by the things that are made, that is perceived, even what? His eternal power and Godhead. So what? So that they are without excuse. So Jew and Gentile have heard. The message has gone out all over the world, to the very ends, the termination point on the earth. How do you hear? Will you hear? Mix what you hear with faith, and there's great power in that. This is a silly illustration, but I'm going to use it anyway. Several years ago, they came out with epoxy glue. It had two little tubes, and they came on a card. And the way it worked was this. You take each one of these and put an equal amount in a little container and mix them. And then you could use it as a very solid and really fantastic glue. But you had to mix them. Do you ever try just, well, I'll try one of these liquids and see what it does. Just put it on something and it just doesn't stick. It's sort of useless. Take some of the other, put it on. It just doesn't stick. But when you take these two compounds, put them together, and mix them thoroughly, mingle them together, and then put it on something, it's solid. It sticks. It works. But as long as you've got just one, you get nothing. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul said they didn't get where they were going, that is, the Israelites, because they didn't mix the message that was preached with their faith. Mix what you hear with faith so that then it will have power.